God, we come seeking healing. We come seeking comfort. We come giving thanks. God, we acknowledge your presence among us. Speak to our hearts and our minds, even our bodies, as we hear your word, as we gather around your table. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes when I read the readings for the day, the coming week, something grabs me right away. It's like, boom. And it catches my attention. And sometimes that theme that's in one of the readings is picked up by another reading or another reading. Sometimes, and this is very rarely the case, the gospel reading will have Jesus commenting on the reading from the prophets. And that is the most interesting. You know, you wonder about biblical commentators, people who are interpreting God's word. You wonder, you know, did they get it right? Can I trust this idea or should I seek another? But when Jesus comments on the scriptures, it's a gift. It really is. And it happens, you know, not often, but regularly when Jesus is commenting on a particular scripture. This week, I didn't have that. I read the scriptures. I know the story of the baptism, as you likely do. And I read it again. And I read it again. You know that packing tape that's so helpful when you're sending a package somewhere, that really thin stuff? Do you ever have the roll and the end is stuck to the roll? Do you ever have a little difficulty finding the end? Anyone out there? Do you ever use your fingernail and you roll it around? And even then you roll around again and again. And if you're in a hurry, it can be particularly vexing, right? Because all you want to do is get this package wrapped before the post office closes, and you can't quite find the end of where the tape is. Unless you're one of those super organized people that have the little machine with the roll of tape in it, and it's hanging right there, stuck on the thing, and you just go, zick, right? But this was more like trying to find the end. And trying to find that place in the gospel, or one of the readings that kind of hooks me, or I hook it, or something. And then I start tugging at it. And finally, it came. And it was the exchange between Jesus and his cousin John the Baptist. And when Jesus finally says to John, no, you baptize me, it's okay. This must be done this way, to fulfill all righteousness. I don't know if you heard that, but I thought, what? Why did he say that? What does that mean? And so I started thinking about it. And I started thinking about righteousness. And that's why I used the example against my wife's advice with the children. You know, because sometimes that example is for you also, right? It's not just for the children. But to put on righteousness, to put it on, to be clothed in righteousness, that's biblical language, because we're called to put on Christ. And this time of year, I said before, is like a mashup, because we just had the birth, and parents with small children, this is where story time can be so helpful to help them understand that, especially as we approach the Passion, and Jesus is abused and hung on a cross. I remember a parent coming to me and saying their child was very upset because they thought that Jesus was just a child when this happened, because it's just been months from Christmas to Easter. And so, you know, we need to remember that, and I think the best way to work on that is in the home, and story time and prayers at bedtime to help a child understand, you know, what's happening, if that's possible, because ultimately it's a mystery. But here we are, Jesus is, we think about 30 when he starts his public ministry, and the public ministry begins when he's at his baptism. He's from his baptism, as you may be aware, he's driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he's tempted. And then his first, do you remember, it's interesting, the hymn today picked it up again. His first public miracle, did you pick that up in the hymn? Yeah, the wedding at Cana. It's like he goes public. His family's saying, come on, come on, come on, come on, show your stuff, come on. And he goes public finally. But it's all in God's time. And John the Baptist as well is thinking, what? You know, John's whole focus in life was to prepare the way for the Messiah. So John was very well tuned to the Messiah, just as he leapt in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus, who was in his mother's womb. I mean, this gets kind of strange, doesn't it? But I love it. It's this mystery, it's this presence, it's this power, it's this Spirit of God at work, bearing witness, even when babies are in their mother's respective wombs. And John bears witness to Jesus. It's beautiful. And so he perceives this as the Messiah. He sent his disciples earlier to Jesus to say, are you Messiah or should we be waiting for someone else? And Jesus, as you remember, sends back with John's disciples, tell John what you've seen. The deaf hear, those who cannot walk leap, and the dead are raised, and the poor are come into a new reality. The poor are ministered to. And that was these acts of righteousness, these good deeds, these signs of the kingdom that John would have said, oh, okay, it's him. And then he saw him. And John was the one who said, this is the Lamb of God. Talk about someone who's attuned to God. Some of you are, and some of our children are. They're attuned to God in a very particular way, a very special way. And I hope you'll nurture that. Not to say you would, but sometimes kids say stuff that is just like, what? But that we'd never do that and go, really, hon, what did you see? What did you hear? I heard a story this week. It touched my heart. An immigrant who did not grow up Christian, grew up in another faith, and had a dis-ease in her faith, and through hearing about Jesus, thought, is he the way? And she said when she was brought to church, all she did was cry. She didn't know what was happening to her, but she felt something in her, and all she did was cry, she said. So she prayed, and she said, if this is you, Jesus, please speak to me. And God gave her a dream. And she prayed that again. If this is you, Jesus, speak to me. And she had friends, Christian friends, that she would go to who spoke her language and could interpret and speak that heart language that she was speaking. God spoke to her daughter, her 10-year-old daughter, in an audible way. And the daughter asked her mom, Mom, what does this mean? I heard a voice. And her mother knew right away what it was. This is before she had received Jesus. God was pursuing her in the most beautiful way. I hate to say that because it can be perceived as an aggressive thing, but it wasn't at all. And this woman, when she gave her life, she said, I'm just a baby Christian. I'm just a baby Christian, she said. But I finally gave my heart to Jesus. I trust in Jesus. And he saved me, she said, in my flesh because now I'm free. I can walk my daughter to school and pick her up, and I'm free to do that. I don't need to wear certain clothing that I had to wear before in my home country. I'm free, she said. And I'm also free in my spirit, and just this beautiful face. So that's the reality we're talking about. She now is clothed with a righteousness that was not hers before. And this righteousness is like your favorite clothing. It's not something to wear on Sunday only, even though obviously this is the example I used was fairly specialized, but the whole idea was to put on something that's not mine. And now it is, because God said it was. You know, the Jews in Jesus' day could achieve righteousness by keeping the law. And we know that because the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He even boasted. He said, if I boast, I have lots to boast about. I was righteous in terms of keeping the law. He was like a superstar. It was like, LeBron James or someone just giving us their stats. It's just the reality. And yet we just go, whoa. But he said, I consider that as rubbish now, apart from the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I heard the same thing spoken from this dear woman this last week. It stuck with me. Her story and her face and her story about her daughter. I didn't meet her daughter, but this active faith, this Spirit of God that's alive and active. Paul says in the book to the Romans that there's a righteousness now apart from the law that has been disclosed, that has been made manifest. And it is attested by the law and the prophets. It's like, this is the real thing. So we can have a righteousness of God apart from keeping the law. And I say amen to that. It's by coming to Jesus and giving our lives to him, like this woman said. And doing that again and again and again. Paul says again in Romans chapter 12, you know, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Someone said the problem about a living sacrifice is that it tends to crawl off the altar. You know, we go back to that uncomfortable place of sacrifice, and we go back to our comforts, so-called. And so we need to come again. Just as that, I love that song we sang, come as you are to worship. Come, worship your God. I know it well, but I just can't. It's kind of jumbled in my head now. But you know the one I'm talking to about, right? One day everyone will confess that you are God. But come as you are to worship. The church I drive by on my way here says, come as you are to worship. 10:30, come as you are. But the hope is clearly to leave as changed people, that I would, that you would, being reminded once again that we are clothed with the righteousness of God. And so back to the scripture, Jesus said that all righteousness may be fulfilled. It's an interesting saying. All righteousness would be fulfilled. God in scripture is called the righteous one. There's no other referred to as the righteous one. And here Jesus is God incarnate, the righteous one, being baptized, which was identified by John as a repentance, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Now, was Jesus confused on this point? Did he go into the waters of baptism a bit foggy about the concept or notion? I don't think so. Jesus identified with us so completely that he went into the waters of baptism, which of course prefigured his death. He went underwater. And I like it when we baptize underwater. And I know Gavin is one who was baptized underwater. Anyone who was here was, we have an 8-foot horse trough that we fill up with sufficient water, as the prayer book says. And Gavin wanted to go under. Some people on that day even were planning on going under, but then decided against it, which is totally fine. It's not the amount of water. It's the fact that we identify with Christ, and it's clearly an act of death, of dying. And Jesus identifies with us in dying, and so then we are raised with him in his resurrection. So for me, to be in Christ is what it means to be a Christian, to be clothed with Christ, to be covered with Christ, to be in Christ. Any ministry I do is in his name, is through Christ. Our fellowship is in Christ. It's through Christ. It's not just because I think Jinx is a nice guy, which of course he is, or I just love his spirit of generosity and help, which I do. That's not where our fellowship is based. It's based in Christ. My fellowship with Christine is not because we share in a ministry at Northcrest, as powerful as that is. No, our connection is in Christ. Our fellowship is in Christ. Because all those other things can be tested and can fail. Christine and I could have a falling out. May it never be. May it never be. And still our fellowship would be in Christ. So it's in Christ. It's with Christ. It's through Christ. And that's why I love the fact that our focal point is the Eucharist. Because that's where we're brought. That's where life and death, birth and death are brought together. And the focus is on in Christ. Now, Scripture says that there's no one righteous. Not one. Time and time again, it's said. And so we think, well, how can anyone be righteous? The point is, in Christ is the way that we are righteous. There'll be more joy in heaven, you've heard, when one sinner who repents over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So those who are righteous need no, have not sinned, or in Paul's case, as a righteous Jew, was right before the law, but not right before God. It's an interesting contradiction in a way. Paul says again in Romans, Romans is a rich book. The first 11 chapters are basically doctrine. And then chapter 12 says, so then live this way based on these 11 chapters of Christian doctrine. And in Romans 6 he says, Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. And so at the heart of righteousness is being obedient to God and God's word by God's Spirit. In Galatians, Paul says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the one who is righteous will live by faith. And so it's this life of faith that is our journey, is our adventure. That Christians together are pursuing after Jesus. In Philippians, we're called, and he says, and to be found in him, that is in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. Often if I'm writing a letter, whether it's a Christian or non-Christian, but mostly to other believers, I say, in Christ, Paul. In Christ. That's where my comfort lies. That's where my protection is. That's where my heart wants to beat with Jesus. That's easy for me to say. It's not always easy to do. That's for sure. I struggle. And I'm drawn back to some old comforts or whatever, distractions. And yet, that's my desire. Now, I spoke earlier about boasting. I don't go around boasting that I have the nicest chasuble in the diocese. That'd be silly. And I may have, but it's not mine. So it's not mine to boast. And that's what, again, Paul says, this time to the Corinthians. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so if a ministry that you are maybe overseeing is producing great fruit, people go, man, amazing ministry, way to go. It'd be easy to think that was ours to boast about. But no, we boast in the Lord Jesus, because we're in him. We minister through him. For it is not those who commend themselves that are approved, Paul says to the Corinthians, but those whom the Lord commends. And so that brings us back to the baptism of Jesus, who identified with us in death, who came out of the waters of baptism and heard the commendation of God. He didn't commend himself. The Father commended him and said, this is my beloved, my son, with whom I am well pleased. And so on this baptism day, the baptism of Jesus, I pray that we could sort of immerse ourselves in these rich pictures and images and find ourselves in Christ. And with Christ, and that we would think about living our lives through Christ and in Christ. Perhaps you already do. Perhaps that's just I'm speaking to the choir here, but you know what I mean, choir. But I think it's a rich part of our faith. It's the mystery of our faith that we pursue until the day we die. Let me just close by saying that this last week, my neighbor died. Really beautiful man. I loved having them as neighbors. Anyone have neighbors like that? I hope you do. Just great people. The best neighbors. Did not profess faith. And so in speaking with the family, I could offer comfort and some solace, but it was like, huh. You know, as they were saying, well, it's all over. I went to a funeral or memorial yesterday, and in an Anglican church, and it was a great tribute to the deceased extended family member. But the hope of Jesus, any talk of this adventure of faith or life eternal, was only spoken of in the beginning and ending prayer and the gospel in the middle, and some in the hymn, but the rest was speaking about the deceased. You know, it's kind of like talking about astronauts landing on the moon. You talk about the people, don't you? Of course you do. We know their names. One small step. You know, for humans, one giant step for humankind. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But if you didn't talk about the spaceship and the rocket that got them there, wouldn't you be missing out on something? The rocket and spaceship that gets them there, that keeps them alive, that gives them an environment where they can thrive, where they can do their work, and they can come home. If you didn't talk about the spaceship, it would be a mistake, would it not? Well, the memorial service yesterday was like, there was no talk of the spaceship, just the astronaut. And I kind of went, is that the Christian life? So I think to be in Christ is like to be in this, I don't want to take in a spaceship. Right, and I can get all scattered here, and I don't mean to, but we're in this reality called Jesus, in whom we live and we move and we have our being, and I believe that the baptism of Jesus speaks of this, and I hope I've been able to do the same.